All right, I want you to be finding 1 Samuel 24. We're going to be studying a very interesting episode in the life of David this morning. And so let's begin by looking at our text in 1 Samuel chapter 24, and we're going to begin in verse 1. And it came to pass when Saul was returned from following the Philistines that it was told him, saying, "Behold, David is in the wilderness of En-Gedi." Then Saul took 3,000 chosen men out of all Israel and went to seek David and his men upon the rocks of the wild goats. And he came to the sheepcotes by the way, where was a cave. And Saul went in to cover his feet, and David and his men remained in the sides of the cave. Basically, that means Saul went into the cave to relieve himself. So that cover his feet mean. Now, when he gets into the cave, his eyes haven't adjusted to the darkness. He's coming in out of the bright sunlight of the desert, and he can't see very well in the cave. But David and his men have been in the cave for a while. Their eyes have adjusted to the darkness, and they could see Saul, but he couldn't see them. And verse 4 says, "And the men of David said unto him, Behold, the day which the Lord said unto thee, Behold, I will deliver thine enemy into thine hand, that thou mayest do to him as it shall seem good to thee. And then David arose and cut off the skirt of Saul's robe privily." In other words, David takes out his razor-sharp dagger. He crawls over there very quietly and cuts off a little piece of Saul's garment. Verse 5 through 7. "And it came to pass afterward that David's heart smote him because he had cut off Saul's skirt. And he said unto his men, The Lord forbid that I should do this thing unto my master, the Lord's anointed, to stretch forth my hand against him, seeing he is the anointed of the Lord. And so David stayed his servants with these words and suffered them not to rise against Saul, but Saul rose up out of the cave and went his way." It's a really remarkable story we have here. David had won some victories. See, I mean, he had, even when he was a little boy, he slew a lion, he slew a bear, and then, you know, a couple of weeks ago we talked about how he killed Goliath and cut Goliath's head off with his own sword. And later on, David did battle with the Philistines, and he was victorious in that. But the greatest battle that David ever won was in the cave that day. What was the victory he won? Well, he won the victory over self. There's no greater victory than the victory over self. Proverbs chapter 16, verse 32 says, "He that is slow to anger is better than the mighty. And he that ruleth his spirit," what it's implying is better than he that taketh a city. Alexander the Great was a mighty warrior. By the time he was 33 years old, he had conquered all of the known world. And he wept because there was no more world to conquer. And then in a fit of anger and in a drunken stupor, he destroyed his friends and himself. He had conquered the world, but he couldn't conquer himself. To conquer one's own spirit is greater than taking the fortress of a foe. There's another victory that's close to it, and that's the refusal to take vengeance over your enemies, even when you have the opportunity to do so. So David won both of those victories right here in this cave that day. He won the victory over self, and then he won a victory over Saul by not killing him, but by letting him live. In Romans chapter 12, and verse 21, it says, "Be not overcome with evil, but overcome evil with good." So the thing that kept David from losing his song that day was the fact that he understood a very great principle, and you too are going to have to understand this principle if you ever hope to have power with God and with men, and it's the principle of spiritual authority. Verse 5. And it came to pass afterward that David's heart smote him because he had cut off Saul's skirt. His heart smote him because he had acted with disrespect. Now, the average person would have said, well, all's fair in love and war. Your enemy's trying to kill you, David. You should do him in before he kills you. David said in verse 6, the Lord forbid that I should do this thing unto my master, the Lord's anointed, to stretch forth mine hand against him, and seeing he is the anointed of the Lord. And then if you look at 1 Samuel chapter 26 and verse 9, and David said to Abishai, destroy him not, for who can stretch forth his hand against the Lord's anointed and be guiltless? David understood the principle of spiritual authority. David knew that even though Saul was not right with God, he was still God's God-given authority. David refused to have a rebellious spirit against authority. So mark your place in 1 Samuel chapter 24 and look at Romans 13. And we're going to see in the New Testament the interpretation of what we're seeing back here in 1 Samuel 24. In Romans 13, beginning in verse 1, let every soul be subject unto the higher powers, for there is no power but of God. The powers that be are ordained of God. Whosoever therefore resists the power, resists the ordinance of God. And they that resist shall receive to themselves damnation. For rulers are not a terror to good works, but to the evil. Wilt thou then not be afraid of the power? Do that which is good, and thou shalt have praise of the same. For he is the minister of God to thee for good. But if thou do that which is evil, be afraid. For he beareth not the sword in vain, for he is the minister of God, a revenger to execute wrath upon him that doeth evil. Wherefore, you must needs be subject, not only for wrath, but also for conscience sake. For this cause pay you tribute, that means taxes also. For they are God's ministers, attending continually upon this very thing. Render therefore to all their dues, tribute to whom tribute is due, custom to whom custom, and fear to whom fear, and honor to whom honor. So who is the subject of spiritual authority? Well, it says, let every man be subject. That means you. That means me. What is the source of spiritual authority? Well, it says, for there is no power but of God. The powers that be are ordained of God. Jesus said, all authority is given unto me. So all authority comes from God. Any civil, spiritual, or domestic authority comes from God. And if you stand against that authority, you are standing against God. Verse 2 says, whosoever therefore resisteth the power, resisteth the ordinance of God. So when you reject the powers that God has put over you, you don't reject that person, you reject God. Notice the seriousness of authority. And they that resist shall receive to themselves damnation. That doesn't mean that you're going to go to hell. That's not what this word means. It means that you're going to receive the judgment of God. God's going to create a punishment that fits the crime. You can't have a rebellious spirit and be right with God. Saul was God's spiritual authority. He had been anointed king over Israel. He was not a good man. He was an apostate who was very much out of fellowship with God. He was a wicked man. He was seeking to take David's life. And yet, David understood a spiritual principle that a lot of Americans don't understand. What sin did Saul commit that caused him to lose the blessing of God in his life? Well, you have to turn back to 1 Samuel chapter 15 and look at verses 22 and 23. And the prophet Samuel comes. He says, "And Samuel said, has the Lord as great delight in burnt offerings and sacrifice as in obeying the voice of the Lord? Behold, to obey is better than sacrifice." That ought to be underlined in your Bible. "To obey is better than sacrifice, and to hearken than the fat of rams. For rebellion is as the sin of witchcraft, and stubbornness is as iniquity and idolatry. Because thou hast rejected the word of the Lord, he has also rejected thee from being king." Saul lost his kingship because he wouldn't submit to spiritual authority. His spiritual authority was Samuel the prophet. And Samuel had told Saul to utterly destroy the Amalekites, but he didn't do it. He spared King Agag. He spared some of his best livestock. And his excuse was that he was going to sacrifice the best of those animals to the Lord. But Samuel said to Saul that rebellion was the sin of witchcraft, and it's better to obey than to sacrifice. The sin of witchcraft is following the devil. You're never more like the devil than when you're rebellious. The devil became the devil by rebelling against spiritual authority. You can go over to Isaiah 14 sometime and read all about it. When you have a rebellious spirit, you're practicing witchcraft. David was a man after God's own heart. But Saul was a man after Satan's own heart. And since Saul refused to be under, he was no longer going to be over. And verse 23 tells us that he was rejected from being king. All authority is mediated. It comes down from above. And if you're rebelling against the authority that God's placed over you, you're not rebelling against man. You're rebelling against the God that's in that man. Even though God had rejected Saul, Saul was still on the throne. He was still David's king, and David had no right to harm the Lord's anointed. 1 Samuel chapter 24, verses 5 and 6. "And it came to pass afterward that David's heart smote him because he had cut off Saul's skirt, and he said to his men, the Lord forbid that I should do this thing unto my master, the Lord's anointed, to stretch forth my hand against him, seeing he is the anointed of the Lord." Saul is still king. And David knew that God's word demands that we be submissive to our spiritual authority. Did you know that we're not even to speak evil of the devil? Jude is it's a book with just one chapter in it. And Jude, verses 8 and 9, says this, "Likewise also, these filthy dreamers defile the flesh, despise dominion, speak evil of dignities. And yet Michael, the archangel, when contending with the devil, he disputed about the body of Moses. He dared not bring against him a railing accusation, but said, the Lord rebuke thee." Now that doesn't mean that Michael gave in to the devil. But there is such a spirit in the world today that we think we can speak evil about anybody just because we don't agree with them. Now, I'm not saying that the devil is anybody's spiritual authority. He's not. If you're a child of God, he doesn't have any authority over you whatsoever. But we need to be careful about speaking evil about anybody. We have to report evil when we find it. We have to speak against the evil, just not against the evildoer. You know, when dignitaries are doing evil things, we have to bring it to the attention of everyone. But speak against the evil, not against the person. If you rail against other people, you know what you're going to do, parents? You're going to create a spirit of rebellion in your own children. We have so much evil in this country that I have a hard time about not crossing a line here. Like the prophets of old, I am going to call out evil when I see it, and I will announce it everywhere I can. But I also have to be careful that I, too, speak against the evil and not directly against the person. David was such a man after God's own heart that his heart smote him just because he had a disrespectful attitude and cut off a piece of Saul's garment. Go back to 1 Samuel 24, verse 4. And the men of David said unto him, Behold, the day which the Lord said unto thee, Behold, will I deliver thine enemy into thine hand, that thou mayest do to him as it shall seem good to thee. Then David arose and cut off the skirt of Saul's robe. David's men say, Man, David, this is your opportunity. God said he was going to deliver your enemy into your hand. Here it is right now. This is doubtless of God, David, so kill him. With one strike of the dagger, David could be free. He could say farewell to all the poverty and the reproach and the suffering that he'd been going through. He could say hello to triumph and riches and power. All he has to do is plunge that dagger in Saul's back, and he'd automatically be the king of Israel. But had he done that, he would have lost his song. We wouldn't know him as a man after God's own heart. He wouldn't be known as the sweet singer of Israel. You better be careful about operating on appearances rather than on principles. It appeared to everybody that this was of God. And the average person would have said, Look what God has done. And they would have taken advantage of it. But the thing that kept David from getting into deep, deep trouble is that he understood a great spiritual principle. Now, people will come up to me and they'll say, you know, or they'll go to God and they'll say, you know, God, I'm praying about this thing or I'm praying about that thing. And if you don't want it to happen, God, then don't let it happen. That's ridiculous. Don't ever pray like that. People say, well, if it's not God's will, it won't happen. Do you think rape is not God's will? I mean, do you think it is God's will? It's not God's will. Does rape happen? Of course it does. You think murder is God's will? Do you think that arson or blasphemy is God's will? There's a lot of things happen that are not God's will. Many of God's people are doing things that they don't have any business doing because of coincidence or because of circumstance rather than principle. A married man says, you know, I've been praying about God's will for my life. Boy, you just would not believe the circumstances that allowed me to meet this woman. Now, I just know it's God's will that I date this girl. You just wouldn't believe the circumstances that brought her into my life. Buddy, I want to tell you something. You better forget about those circumstances and get back to God's word and start operating according to principle. If David had operated according to appearances, he would have said, this is obviously of God. And everybody else there that day said, this is of God. But it wasn't of God. And David operated according to principle and won the greatest victory of his life right there in that cave. But the first thing you see is this great principle, and that brings us to another point. The second thing is a gentle plea. When you have a spiritual authority that's not worthy to be a spiritual authority, that's a real problem, isn't it? What do you do if you're a Christian boy or girl and your parents are ungodly? They're your spiritual authority. What do you do if you're a member of a church and your pastor's not doing right? What do you do when your government seems to be unworthy of your support? What do you do when somebody commands you to do something that you know is contrary to the will of God? What do you do about unworthy spiritual authorities? Are we just to blindly obey them? Look at 1 Samuel 24, beginning in verse 7. So David stayed his servants. In other words, he kept them from doing any harm to Saul. He stayed his servants with these words, and he suffered them or allowed them not to rise against Saul. But Saul rose up out of the cave and went on his way, and David also arose afterward and went out of the cave and cried after Saul, saying, "My lord the king!" And when Saul looked behind him, David stooped with his face to the earth and bowed himself. And David said to Saul, "Wherefore hearest thou men's words, saying, 'Behold, David seeketh thy hurt'? Behold, this day thine eyes have seen how that the Lord had delivered thee today into my hand in the cave, and some bid me kill thee, but my eye spared thee. And I said, 'I will not put forth mine hand against my Lord, for he is the Lord's anointed.' Moreover, my father, see the skirt of thy robe in my hand, for in that I cut off the skirt of thy robe and killed thee not, know thou and see that there's neither evil nor transgression in my hand, and I have not sinned against thee. Yet thou huntest my soul to take it. The Lord judge between me and thee, and the Lord avenge me of thee. But mine hand shall not be upon thee. As saith the proverb of the ancients, wickedness proceedeth from the wicked, but my hand shall not be upon thee. After whom is the king of Israel come out? After whom dost thou pursue? After a dead dog or a flea? The Lord therefore be judge, and judge between me and thee, and see, and plead my cause, and deliver me out of thine hand." You see David's gentle plea here? Look at the reverence he has for Saul. In verse 8, David arose afterward and went out of the cave and cried after Saul and said, "My lord the king." Can you imagine? It says he bowed down. Can you imagine bowing down in front of someone with your head close to the ground, somebody who's trying to kill you? Would you do that? There's not only reverence, but there's respect. Look at verse 9. And David said to Saul, "Wherefore hearest thou men's words, saying, 'Behold, David seeketh thy hurt'?" You know what David was doing here? He was giving Saul the benefit of the doubt. He's saying, "Surely, Saul, somebody's misinformed you. Surely somebody's been telling you that I'm your enemy. I'm not your enemy, Saul." It was kind of David to give Saul the benefit of the doubt. And then he tries to reason with Saul in verse 11. "Moreover, my father, see ye the skirt of the robe in my hand, for I cut the skirt off thy robe and killed thee not. There's no evil, no transgression in my heart here." He's saying, "Isn't it reasonable, Saul, to say that I'm not your enemy?" There's reverence, there's respect, there's reason. And now notice the reliance upon the Lord in verse 12. "The Lord judge between me and thee, and the Lord avenge me of thee, but mine hand shall not be upon thee." David said, I'm going to trust God to get me out of this thing, Saul. Verse 15, "The Lord therefore be judge, and judge between me and thee, and see and plead my cause, and deliver me out of thine hand." In one of the greatest speeches in all of the Bible, David does not vilify his spiritual authority. Instead, he pleads his righteous cause. When we're faced with unworthy spiritual authorities today, we need to do what David did. We need to do what Daniel did. Remember, Daniel was in captivity. They wanted Daniel and those with him to defile themselves with the king's meat. But Daniel said, "Just let me eat beans and water and vegetables for a while. And if we're not just as strong as your men, then we'll see what happens after that." But he wasn't smart aleck. Wasn't mouthy. There was no spirit of rebellion over his authorities. We need a pleading spirit rather than a rebellious spirit. When David acted that way before Saul, Saul's conscience was stricken. When David got under authority, God started to work on Saul. You go over the New Testament, 1 Peter chapter 2, verses 17 through 21. It says, honor all men. Love the brotherhood. Fear God. Honor the king. Servants, be subject to your masters with all fear. Not only to the good and gentle, but also to the froward. That means even be that way to people who act like Saul acted. To people who don't deserve that kind of respect, give it to them anyway. For this is thankworthy. If a man for conscience towards God endure grief, suffering wrongfully, for what glory is it when you're buffeted for your faults and you take that patiently? Big deal. But if when you do well and suffer for it and you take it patiently, this is acceptable with God. For even hereunto were you called, because Christ also suffered for us, leaving us an example that we should follow his steps. If we could just learn to be respectful to those that God has set over us. In Proverbs chapter 15 and verse 1, it says, a soft answer turneth away wrath, but grievous words stir up anger. In Proverbs 16 and verse 7, it says, when a man's ways please the Lord, he maketh even his enemies to be at peace with him. In Proverbs chapter 21 and verse 1, it says, the king's heart is in the hand of the Lord, and as rivers of water, he turneth it whithersoever he will. Guess who wrote all those verses? David. He said, Saul, I'm going to leave you up to God who says, vengeance is mine. But David refused to touch God's anointed. God would do a better job at dealing with Saul than David. And he did. But you know, there's one last thing I want you to see here. Not only a great principle, there's not only a gentle plea, there's also a gracious promise. Go back to 1 Samuel 24 and look at verse 16. And it came to pass, when David had made an end of speaking these words unto Saul, that Saul said, is this thy voice, my son David? And Saul lifted up his voice and wept. Saul had come there with murder in his heart. But David had done good, and it was like dumping hot coals on Saul's head. He says in verses 17 through 20, thou art more righteous than I. That's what Saul's saying to David. For thou hast rewarded me good, whereas I have rewarded thee evil. And thou hast showed this day how that thou hast dwelt well with me, for as much as when the Lord has delivered me into thine hand, thou killest me not. For if a man find his enemy, will he let him go well away? Wherefore the Lord reward thee good for that thou hast done unto me this day. And now behold, I know well that thou shalt surely be king, and that the kingdom of Israel shall be established in thy hand. Even old blind Saul, I'm talking about spiritually blind Saul, could see that when David was willing to be under, God was going to put him over. He continues in verse 21. He said, swear now therefore unto me by the Lord that thou wilt not cut off my seed after me, and that thou wilt not destroy my name out of my father's house. And David swore unto Saul, and Saul went home, but David and his men got them up into the hold. In Romans chapter 12, in verse 19, it says, dearly beloved, avenge not yourselves, but rather give place unto the wrath. For it is written, vengeance is mine, I will repay, saith the Lord. Therefore, if thine enemy hunger, feed him. If he thirst, give him to drink. For in so doing, thou shalt heap coals of fire upon his head. See, the Spirit of the Lord was on David. And he never won a victory any greater than the one that he won in the cave that day. He won a victory over self and a victory over Saul. and a victory over sin. David learned to respect authority. So David had authority. Some of you mothers, you want spiritual authority over your children. So you know what you need to do? Be submissive to your husbands. Some of you men want spiritual authority over your wives. So you know what you need to do? Be submissive to your church and your pastor. Some of you teenagers want spiritual authority over the flesh. So you know what you need to do? You need to get submissive to your parents, for this is good with the Lord. God is never, listen to me, God is never, never, ever, no, never, ever, never going to bless someone with a rebellious spirit. Never. He'll never do it. The greatest victory you'll ever win is the great victory that David won that day. The greatest victory you'll ever win is the victory over yourself. You could win that victory today if you so chose to do so. So many people, when it comes to this part of the service, and our musicians are going to come and prepare, so many people come to this time, and you know what? I've seen people grip the pews so hard their knuckles turn white because they're not willing to give up their rebellion. And so they continue in their rebellion. And then they wonder why things aren't going well in their life. They wonder why they can never get over. It's because they've never got under. It always reminds me, I think it was Cornelius who came to Jesus. He had a servant that was sick or a son that was sick, and he asked Jesus to heal him, and Jesus said, I'll come to your house. Cornelius says, no, sir, you don't have to do that. I too am a man under authority. I say to this man, go, and he goes. I say to that man, come, and he comes. All you have to do, Lord, because I know you're a man of authority, is just speak a word. My servant will be healed. You know what Jesus said? I haven't seen this great of faith in all of Israel. Cornelius was a Gentile. And what was the subject he was dealing with? Spiritual authority. Spiritual authority. You know, we've been taught that authority is a kind of a four-letter word, some kind of a bad thing. Well, I'm telling you, it's not. It's the only way you'll ever be blessed. Is to get under. To get under. I wonder if you'd do that today as we sing. What are we going to sing, Gary?
347.
347 is our hymn. Would you stand to your feet? Please be still. Be quiet. Don't disturb anybody around you. Let them hear the voice of God in their heart today. And I just ask each one of you to obey that still small voice in your heart today. And you come as we sing.
Savior, holy.
Heavenly Father, we thank you so much for this message. Thank you for our pastor and the work that he does to prepare these wonderful sermons that teach us so much. The right things that we may have known, but we forget sometimes, but help us to be submissive, Lord, to authority over us. And help us to be conscious of that. And we pray for your blessing on us because of it. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. Let's join our hands as we dismiss.
We are one.